Hello and welcome to All Access Star Trek, the brand new podcast from TrekMovie.com. This is Anthony Pascal, founder and editor-in-chief of TrekMovie.com, and my co-host for this show will be managing editor of TrekMovie, Lori Ulster.
Hello, everybody.
This new podcast will be focused entirely on the growing and expanding Star Trek universe of TV shows.
It's basically going to be everything from Star Trek Discovery onward, every new Star Trek show.
Every week, we will discuss the latest news in the Star Trek universe, and for weeks where there is an episode to discuss, we will be reviewing that episode.
We also hope to get some guests on the show, from people who work on Trek to our own Shuttlepod podcasters and Trek movie people.
This week we're going to be doing a brief introductory episode. We'll be just covering this week's news. There is no episode to discuss. That will be with our first big show next week with the first episode of Star Trek Lower Decks.
So let's start with news right now. Tony, what do you think is the biggest news that we want to hit?
Well, the biggest news for this week is obviously the long-awaited announcement of a premiere date for the third season of Star Trek Discovery, which is now known to be coming on October 15th.
And yet, interestingly, they did not announce that at Comic-Con, which was all online this year. They waited a few days and announced it afterwards.
It was an interesting choice. It appears to me, I mean, they did a big Star Trek Universe virtual panel for Comic-Con at home. It was like an hour and a half long, broken into segments.
Which, by the way, people, you can still find on YouTube and watch if you want to see the whole thing.
And we've got breakdowns of all the segments at TrekMovie.com. We covered it, you know, just like when I go down to Comic-Con with Christine and, you know, Kayla or whatever. We treated it like it was going to be that kind of news event. But, you know, to be honest, it wasn't as big of a news event as a regular Comic-Con. CBS and other studios, you know, played along with the virtual Comic-Con at home, but all in all, across the board, including Star Trek, it wasn't really used as much to create big news, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We were still frenzied trying to capture everything as quickly as we could as soon as it went up, so it felt like that a little bit for us. But I think in terms of the information that was released, there wasn't a whole lot of new stuff about what's coming. It was just sort of a big reminder of the large Star Trek presence that's out there. A few tidbits here and there.
From what it appears, CBS made a decision to focus just on one thing. And so, and a way to kind of read the tea leaves is, don't just look at what they did. Look at what press releases they sent out. And they sent out two actual press releases. One was for Lower Decks. One was for Star Trek. Prodigy, the new, finally announced name for the Nickelodeon show. So it seemed like they wanted to kind of send the message to the media as a news event that they were focusing on their kind of new move into animation for Star Trek. And so most of the coverage you saw outside of kind of the nerd sites was, you know, CBS launching two animated series. You want to talk about those shows?
Yeah, because there's one for adults and one for kids. So the big one, obviously, which premieres on August 6th, which we're excited to be reviewing for you when we start next week, is called Lower Decks. I'm pretty sure you guys know everything about it. It comes from Mike McMahon, who worked on Rick and Morty. And it takes place after Nemesis, but in the TNG era. And it's a comedy. It's the first Star Trek comedy.
It's breaking new ground, really. I mean, a couple years ago, Alex Kurtzman, who's in charge of the Star Trek universe, and his partner, Heather Kadeen, started talking about how they were going to try new formats and new tones. And you know, I think they once offhanded even mentioned comedy, and it just seemed almost crazy at the time. But, you know, we've seen them make good on this premise that they are really going to experiment with the Star Trek formula and try different formats. And we've seen a little bit of this with Short Treks. But this is kind of a big move for Star Trek. Animation obviously happened in the 70s, but a comedy is something entirely new. And some fans seem to be fully embracing the idea. Some fans are, you know, kind of curious, like, you know, what's up with this? An adult comedy for Star Trek?
Yeah, I mean, and look, it's made by someone who's a huge Star Trek fan, who has tremendous love for TNG in particular, who's got good comedy chops, looks like a really good cast based on that panel. And we've seen a trailer, we've seen a clip, we've seen an episode, which we won't talk about until next week. But I'll say this, it's completely 100% affectionate. So anyone who's worried that this is going to be some edgy, snarky show has nothing to worry about.
Right. I mean, it is adult animation, but it is not Rick and Morty in Star Trek. Absolutely.
Yeah, not at all.
And yeah, I'm very excited about the show. I was excited before I saw a couple episodes. Now I'm even more excited. So
yeah, you're a Rick and Morty fan, right? Already?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, big Rick and Morty fan. But I knew that wasn't, you know, because I trusted Mike McMahon when he said this isn't going to be that, and it isn't. This is more in line with his, you know, Twitter account, the Star Trek season 8 and the book called Warped about the non-existent 8th season of Star Trek: The Next Generation. That gives you a bigger insight into his approach for this show, for sure. So yeah, we're very excited about that. I thought it was the best of the three panel sections. The section on Lower Decks is just a great chemistry with the cast. They were fun. I mean, they weren't breaking news. They were showing the clip. But just there's just a lot of fun, and I think it lends itself better to the virtual panel thing when the comedy groups get together. So far, so good for Lower Decks.
Yeah, and it looks like a great group of characters too.
The other bit of news on Sanimation was, we mentioned briefly, Star Trek Prodigy. We knew that a Nickelodeon show was in the works. The show is aimed at kids. It's CG animated, but they finally confirmed the name and gave us a logo and said that it's coming in 2021, which, you know, is pretty much all we know, except that the premise, which is, it's, you know, it's a group of, you know, lawless teens who discover a derelict starship and use it to search for adventure, meaning, and salvation. That's the official thing. That's all we know. I'm excited about the show, mostly because I'm excited about Star Trek trying to appeal to a younger generation.
Yeah, and the other thing I like about it, since it is a kids show, so it's Kevin and Dan Hagerman are the producers of it, and they're brothers, and they've done a lot of other kids stuff before. I think Troll Hunters was theirs, but also on the writing staff there are also two sisters, Shauna and Julie Benson. So I feel like that's a great place to work from when you're doing a kids show, is have siblings around, because there's nobody who brings out the kid in anybody than your siblings, doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah, they're definitely, they're vets of kids shows, but some of them are true Star Trek fans, and we've seen some of their stuff on Twitter. You know, one of them was pointing out on Twitter how, you know, the Enterprise D had dolphins on board. I mean, these guys know their deep cuts in Star Trek. And so all signs point to something interesting there in 2021.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, and David Mack is a consultant on it, Star Trek novelist. So they will be coming from a good place. Some of them have even written comic books. So yeah, I think it looks like a good writing staff, which is pretty much all we know about it at this point.
Let's talk about Star Trek Picard.
Yeah, I mean, that panel, so they didn't give us any new information, but I will say this, which is that Marina Sirtis was on that panel, and to me, she was the one who embodied sort of the spirit of Comic-Con. Because she kept I mean, she was like, she was at a con. She was interrupting people. She was making fun of the younger actors for their reverence for Sir Patrick, and frequently just taking over to tell them to shut up, which I enjoyed very much, even though I like all those actors quite a bit.
Yeah, there certainly is a bit of cult of personality, it feels like, when people start talking about Sir Patrick, who work on the show, and Marina's like, "Bah."
You know, she kept going, "Stop it, stop it."
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, and you kind of get a sense of what that was like in the early 80s with them, when they had to kind of train him, as he said, to relax. And yeah. I think she's trying to train the new the people working with Patrick Stewart to relax and, you know, stop treating him like a, you know, a porcelain doll, obviously, you know, but they all seem to be having a lot of fun. And that was the good part of that panel, was certainly, you know, some of that chemistry, especially with Marine. I mean, the editing and stuff with all of these Comic-Con panels takes away a lot of the spontaneity of a, you know, being there in the room, for sure.
Yeah, and it's hard. Look, it's hard for them because normally at these things you'd have an audience roaring and reacting to everything, which they didn't have. It was just quiet, everybody in their own house. It was a little bit sad for that. But I thought they did a good job of showing how they relate to each other. They had some good back and forth banter. And it is a terrific cast. That show has such good, fun people on it. So they had some fun with it. But yeah, they didn't really tell us anything about season two, which of course they don't know. Nobody knows what's going on with filming yet. So I understand that.
Right. You know, we do know that, you know, they're fairly far along in the writing process. They were supposed to start shooting last month, in theory. So I think it's all a matter of, you know, COVID. But they really didn't talk about that at the panel. So this is stuff that we just know because that's the world we live in. But they decided not to really discuss that.
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity, in my opinion. But it's done.
A little other bit of Picard news. We have the announcement on October 6th that the first season's coming out on home video. So we've got the Blu-ray, a Steelbook, and a DVD. There's going to be 2 hours of special features. You know, we kind of know the drill now for, you know, releases from CBS because we've seen a couple seasons of Discovery solid home video releases. So this looks like, you know, to be just another one of those, and we'll be reviewing that in October.
I was just going to say, get your detailed reviews at trekmovie.com.
Exactly. The another show which didn't get its own segment for the Comic-Con panel, but we knew they were going to say something, was the show every fan has been buzzing about for a couple months, which is Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Right. And we know that there is a writer's room and that they've broken 10 episodes is what we knew before that. They chose not to talk about that at Comic-Con. But of course, the three stars were all part of the Star Trek Discovery panel.
Right. And Peck and Mount, Anson Peck, they fused. It's like Tuvix.
Yes. Tuvix.
Sorry.
Anson Mount and Ethan Peck. Rebecca Romijn was there too, but she didn't get a chance to say much. But those two each talked a little bit about at least what they think their characters are going to be focused on when the show starts.
I mean, Discovery certainly has set up some interesting character dynamics because now we know that Pike and this Mount talked about this. Pike knows his fate. And how does that impact Pike for 7 seasons or however long the show goes, knowing he's going to end up in the chair and all of that? And
I think he's just going to be moping for the whole 7 seasons.
Right. Constantly looking at his watch. Yeah. You know, how much time do I got?
And weeping and running right to the, yeah, and getting and drinking a lot of alcohol because who cares, and eating fattening foods because what's the difference? No, he won't be doing that.
Yeah, I think it'll give his character a little bit more depth. I mean, you know, in The Cage, we saw he was, you know, a very reflective character, and he was kind of going through some issues. You know, we'll probably be seeing more of that. You know, will there be more Venus? So, you know, everyone's excited about the show, but, you know, breaking 10 stories doesn't mean they have 10 scripts. It's obvious that Picard is much further along in development. For season two, that show will likely start shooting before Strange New Worlds gets going. Strange New Worlds is going to be shot in Canada, like Discovery. And one of the issues will be, we're hoping this show has a lot of location shooting because it's supposed to be episodic.
And they're going to Strange New Worlds. Right. Lest we forget.
Lori, you know, you are a native of Canada. What is the, well, you know, how reasonable do you think it would be to be doing location shooting in Canada in January, for example?
Yeah, January, if they want to go to an ice planet, I think that'll be great. this blizzard planet. But look, if they're not shooting in winter, they have a lot of geographical options that they can get to and get all kinds of different types of terrain. And it can look very cool. But in winter, it's going to be miserable for everybody.
Right.
And winter is longer. I mean, I'm from Toronto and I live in New York. And the temperatures get very similar, except that winter is longer. So it's very, very cold. I've been there when, you know, to seeing other shows shoot in terrible weather, and it makes everybody miserable. So hopefully they will not have to film too much in winter.
Exactly. That's pretty much everything that came out of Comic-Con itself. There was a little bit other news for the Star Trek universe this week. This is Emmy announcement week. You know, they've been putting a big effort into getting Star Trek Picard Emmy consideration. So, Lori, how did that work out for them?
Well, they didn't score any of the big ones. Obviously, they, you know, the big thing that you want is for the show, for directing, for writing, for acting. They didn't get any of those, but they got some for their really good backstage artistic technical work. So they were nominated for hair, for makeup, prosthetic and non, which is nice, sound editing and sound mixing. And all that stuff is top quality on Picard. But I know I'm sure they're disappointed. I know they were hoping to get something for Sir Patrick in particular.
Right. The best, I mean, there's a lot of competition, you know, we're living in the peak TV era. You know, Patrick Stewart did get some buzz, you know, Variety and some outlets were saying he was a long shot, but, you know, so people were talking about him as being in the running, which is significant to actually get to at least the buzz level.
I do think there's some Star Trek snobbery when it comes to acting, because there hasn't been an acting nomination since Leonard Nimoy. So that's a long time ago. And look, if you just look at Patrick Stewart himself, he did some incredible work on Next Generation, like Chain of Command and episodes like that, where he absolutely should have been nominated and he wasn't. So I think there's still a little bit of snobbery with the Emmys. I mean, I'm an Emmy voter, but I don't get to vote on every category. But I think there's some snobbery there about Star Trek, and it's going to be a hard battle.
Absolutely.
To get him nominated. Yeah. And I thought he actually deserved it. I think he did an incredible job in the show. And he earned it.
I do too. I feel like he got better as the season went on. I think it took him a little while to get back into the swing of things, both as Picard and acting. I'm not sure, but I definitely feel like his best work was in the latter half of the season. And he was certainly worthy of being considered for that statue, but maybe season two.
I'm not even sure I agree with you 100% on that, because I think his character changed, and I think we saw that growth very effectively because of how well he played this character at the beginning too. I thought he was very strong in those first few episodes because he had to quickly convey who Picard is right now. And we got it. And then we watched him change and grow over the course of the series.
Okay. Fair enough.
Now Marina's going to come in and yell at us for saying nice things about him.
Exactly. He's going to get a big head. Because we know, of course, Sir Patrick, if you're listening, we love you.
Yes. There was one other Emmy nomination worth mentioning.
Yeah, and actually this was the biggie in that Short Treks was put forward for short form. And it is being nominated for Outstanding Short Form Series, and that's a big deal.
It's got tough competition. I was just looking over, so it's up against Short Form from The Good Place, Reno 911, Better Call Saul, and that Liam Hemsworth Quibi series, which I haven't watched.
I mean, Quibi, obviously they're pouring billions, I don't know, hundreds of billions into short form television.
Yeah, so the Reno 911 thing is theirs too.
Yeah, so Quibi is totally dominating all the short form categories, including outstanding series. So, you know, that this is the wrong year to go into short form, because suddenly there's this deep pocket streaming company and that's all they do. And so, You know, whereas other things are kind of these side projects from Better Call Saul and you know, these kind of webs things. They may have had an easier go of it. But still, it was a big deal and good for Lower Treks. And there's an open question about Lower Treks, which is...
You have to stop calling them Lower Treks.
I was thinking Lower Decks. Lower
Short Treks.
Short Treks. God, I'm getting all my shit. Well, this is... But that's exactly my point, is that Short Treks came out of a situation as we were waiting for season two, whereas the post-production work on season two was taking so long that Alex Kurtzman and company developed these Short Treks as a bit of a stopgap to give new Star Trek content to CBS All Access while we waited for season two of Star Trek Discovery. And then there was a second season. They did some more experimentation, including animation. But now the question is, do they still use Short Treks as this, you know, experimental thing? But, you know, they've got so much Star Trek universe content coming.
Well, they do, but they can't, anything that isn't animated, they can't film yet. So it might be some, it might be still useful to them because, as you said, they used it also to just experiment with some different formats. They tried some humor, they tried different things. So it might still be a way to tell a smaller story where they can make the filming simpler or do something animated, but they didn't talk about it at all at Comic-Con. So we have no idea what their plans are for it.
Right. The last show to mention is the Section 31 series. The only news out of that is that all the press releases continue to say that there is a series in development starring Michelle Yeoh, but we've had no real news about that show for a year.
I think it's also possible, you know, so much has changed in the world that that kind of show might not be the kind of show that people are now looking for. But who knows? Listen, we know the world can change on a dime, as it has. So they might be, we don't know if they're waiting to see if they still want to do it or if they're going full steam ahead and just not talking about it.
And I think that's all right. And I think also whether or not Discovery gets a fourth season is an open question. And that question, you know, may rely a lot on Netflix, who's been a big funder of the show internationally, but they tend to give shows three seasons and move on. And so, you know, there's just, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, but I think that's it for the news of the week. So, you know, before we go, Lori.
Yes, Tony.
Looking at everything, the whole Star Trek universe, which is this growing and expanding, you know, plethora of Star Trek coming. What are you most excited about?
I mean, what I'm most curious about, I would say, is Discovery Season 3, because it's plunging into a whole new era. So I'm curious about it. But I think right now my excitement is focused on Lower Decks. But basically, having seen a little bit of it, I'm enthusiastic about the love for the Star Trek that I love, as opposed to trying to create an evolution of Star Trek, which I'm all for, but I'm excited about a little comforting, fun humor, looking at shows that I've seen a million times and mentioning them a lot. How about you, Tony?
Well, I agree. You know, when I first saw Lower Decks, it was exactly what I thought it was going to be, and that's exactly a good thing, because I had high hopes for it, and it met those expectations. So now, because, you know, I have the attention span of a gnat, I'm excited about Strange New Worlds, because I want to know more about that. And I think a lot of fans feel the same way. They're very excited. We're hearing, you know, everything they're saying is the right thing. You know, this was born by fan interest. They are going back to traditional Star Trek. It's going to be episodic. It's going to be optimistic. I think it's going to be shot in a different way. I like that there's going to be yet another new, yet familiar Star Trek coming down the pike, no pun intended.
I like my only concerns are that they will rely too heavily on things that we've already seen in the original series universe. And I would actually be happy if they just tried a lot of new aliens and new planets.
Yeah, they should not be afraid of the alien of the week. And that should, you know, absolutely, it shouldn't be, here's the Gorn, here's the Metrons. It's like, you know, we've seen that. Let's move on. Who's your Gorn? Who's your Metron? Sure, we'll see Klingons. We should see Klingons. Why not? You know, Klingons are, you know, Klingons always show up. But let's give these guys new adventures. Let's have Pike define his, you know, universe in his own way, with his own show, doing his own thing.
And let's develop number one. That I'm excited about, to see what Rebecca Romijn can do. She has a lot. She has a really great energy. Having interviewed her live, she had so much energy. She was so funny. Big giant laughs, laughing hysterically at everything. So I think she can bring a lot to that character, and I would love to see that happen.
And I agree. Season three of Discovery, I mean, it's a blank slate. They obviously, you know, picked a point in the future where there's no Star Trek canon, so they never have to run into, oh, that's not supposed to look that way, you know, because they can say what everything is in the 32nd century. We've never seen it before.
Right. And they're breaking the chains that held them down. So I think that's
exactly
it.
So, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, we've got 23 weeks of Star Trek to look forward to, which is something that we haven't been able to say since the early 2000s, and even more in 2021, hope, you know, depending on how things work with COVID.
And that also means 23 weeks of our podcast reviewing Star Trek.
Absolutely. Starting next week, look for All Access Star Trek with reviews of Lower Decks, then going into Star Trek Discovery. After that, you know, we'll still try to do the show every week. We'll talk about the news. We'll do some analyses. We'll have some interviews. So we're going to keep this party going because there's so much to talk about with the growing and expanding universe of Star Trek on television.
Yay! So much Star Trek.
Please like and subscribe and all of those things. And, you know, you'll find us in all of your favorite podcasting locations. And please give us feedback. It's a new show, and we're looking to make this the kind of show that fans want to keep informed about the Star Trek universe.
Absolutely. So we will see you next week with the very first episode of Lower Decks. Bye, guys.
Bye.